Hey there, friend. Welcome to the What's the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Hoddle, and today we're tackling lie number 49. We have a special guest, Kara, who is a licensed professional counselor, boundaries coach, and she has a podcast as well titled Be Known. You are listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a wife, author, speaker, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Each week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think, to change the way you live. I loved this podcast, and maybe I say that about every podcast. I don't know. But I mean, it's been at the end of this year, for the first year, it's been 52 lies that we've addressed. And sometimes I don't even think we realize how many lies that we tend to believe. And it has just been so fun to be able to be on this journey with you. But today's lie, I don't matter. She, as from her perspective as a counselor, talks about verbal cues, nonverbal cues, words, everything relating to I don't matter. So that means, what can we be looking for in other people where we might be able to encourage them and help them? That would be nonverbal. Maybe they're saying certain words that we can pay attention to, or maybe you're saying things that you don't even realize that you're saying, or cues that you don't even realize that you're expressing. That was one of the most pivotal moments, I think, for me in the conversation, of being able to acknowledge and recognize what's actually happening with inside ourselves. You will be blessed by this podcast episode with Kara, because I know it blessed me. And anybody out there listening to this right now and thinks that they do not matter, I want to encourage you. Yes, yes, you do. And more than ever, your voice is needed. The work that you are called to do, somebody else is waiting for you to step in so that they can be encouraged and inspired. We have a piece to play in our ministry, because yes, you're in ministry. If you said yes to Jesus, that means that you're in ministry. You have the ministry of reconciliation. Do not take that lightly. Every single day, everywhere you go, you have a ministry, and you do matter. And what you do matters. And what you say matters, because it doesn't go away. It all matters. So let's go ahead and get to the interview. Kara, I am so thankful that you're here to talk with us about this lie, I don't matter. And I recently was at a conference and I heard Lisa Whittle say, the world has convinced us that we don't matter. And I think when we hear opinions of the world, we actually begin to believe those as our truth. And we really do begin to settle into this lie and story. Well, why does it matter what I do? Because I don't matter. So Kara, why don't you just take it away and share why you are passionate about this lie?
Yeah, I think it's because not only have I lived it and still live it and struggle with it, but I've also, just in counseling, as a counselor, seen so many women and men, and kids, you know, kids, teenagers, all across the board, who have at some level believed this, and they don't always say they believe it. But I can see it. I can hear it in their stories, in their words. And so it's been something that's I'm super passionate about, because I see that it's a collective problem. You know, I like how you said, Lisa said, the world has made us believe that. And yeah, that's sometimes it's very true. I think most of the time, when we believe we don't matter, it's because of some interaction with someone else. We want to believe we matter to other people. And when other people don't make us feel like we matter, in whatever way, it could be really severe, like trauma, or, you know, being hurt or neglected or something like that, or abused. Or it could be something more small, where it's like, you know, oh, my husband didn't even say good morning to me, or something like that. It could be big or small, but it's always in relationship to other people. And so, yeah, I think she hit the nail on the head when she said that, because that's where the lie is always coming in. right there is when someone else is hurting us in a big or small way, you know?
Yeah.
And even like in the crazy climate of our culture today and how people just freely express themselves online, even in those situations, you know, someone's trying to express themselves and someone else shuts them down.
Yeah.
And so that person who expressed their feelings about something or their thoughts immediately goes to that lie. Oh, maybe my thoughts about this don't matter, or maybe I'm wrong or something like that. Or maybe it's not safe to be who I am or to share these things, you know? And so, yeah, it's this collective lie that is not often addressed and it's not often brought to the light, but it's there and it takes deep root and it can really, really affect all of our relationships from that point on, our relationship with ourselves, with others, and with God, for sure.
Tell us how long you've been a counselor and what kind of counselor you are.
I am a licensed professional counselor. I have been doing this since 2013. That's so awesome. Professionally, at least.
Yeah. Can you just tell us a little bit about the story of how you got there?
So when I was in college, I had been a science major doing something, I don't know, and God just really started calling me out of that and reminding me that he had something in ministry for me. And I didn't know what that looked like. You know, I knew that he wanted me to write, but I didn't know what else he wanted me to do. And so, random people started coming up to me and being like, I don't know if you've ever thought about being a counselor, but you'd be a good counselor. And I didn't even know what a counselor was when I was in college. I mean, I didn't know anyone that did this. So it's becoming more common today than it was back when I was in school. But anyway, I didn't know what that was. So I started doing some research and I really felt the Lord was like, yes, this is the way, walk in it. And so, yeah, I went to the seminary in New Orleans and got my counseling degree. And what I really mainly do in that work is I work with a lot of people who have been sexually abused. That's where I focus. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, this lie right here comes up quite a bit in those settings.
I have a lot of questions, I feel like, since you've been talking. One, you were talking about the words that we use. I think if we can listen to what other people are saying, we could also have more empathy and compassion to be able to help them. Hmm. What words could we look for that somebody that may be believing these lies would be saying? Because they might not say, I don't matter, but what other words, synonyms, so to speak, could we be listening for as people that love Jesus?
Yeah, that's good. That's a good question. I think it's not always words. I think it's sometimes like we've got to watch their nonverbals. So sometimes if somebody feels that way, they'll look down when they speak instead of looking at you, you know, they'll fiddle a lot maybe while they're talking to you. They may cross their arms or just look uncomfortable in a conversation. That doesn't always indicate that they have this deep belief. It could just indicate that they're anxious or something in the moment. But if it's like a good friend who should be pretty comfortable with you, if it's like your spouse, you know, your kids, people that you're close to and you notice that they're not looking at you in a confident way when they're speaking, that could indicate that there's a deep belief there that they don't matter. And you can physically see it in their body sometimes. Now, words, like if you compliment someone and they'll say something like, no, you know,
this raggedy thing.
That's right. They'll say something weird like that. Or like a friend of mine this weekend, I told her, you look so pretty this morning. And she said, well, you're prettier, you know? So if you like share a compliment and somebody may not take it like a thank you, you know, that may indicate that they believe something's wrong with them, you know, that they think there's something deeply wrong with them. I think other words, like, again, it could be more of the nonverbal in the conversation, but like if people are stumbling a lot over their words, or they seem really unsure of themselves, or if you ask maybe their opinion on something and, oh no, you don't want my opinion, or no, 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 it doesn't matter. You know, you do what you want. Or you ask a group of people, hey, where do we want to go eat? And you ask each person, and one person's like, it's fine, I don't care, you know, when they probably really do care. So like, you're kind of paying attention to the people who maybe need to say something, or you're like waiting for them to express themselves in whatever way, you know, and they just hold back quite a bit. Again, that doesn't always indicate that there's that lie there. It could be a complicated issue.
Yeah.
But those are some surface level things to look for, I think.
I love that you brought up the compliment. I think as a society, we've taught that if we accept a compliment, then we're being prideful. And it's taught us to not like ourselves or accept or receive, because like, give and it shall be given. Like, God wants to encourage you. He wants to speak life into you, and he's going to use other people to do that. And so if somebody says that you're pretty, just say, thank you. Like, that's so nice. Like, it's okay to get compliments that say that you're pretty or you're kind or whatever. It's just reaffirming your identity in Christ. I want to talk about this because you were talking about a little bit. I want to talk about how social media has affected how we think about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I am so passionate about this because we're treating social media as if it's real life, like real life, like as if the thousands and billions of people that are on Facebook are all of our friends, and they all have to like us, and they need to hear our opinion. And if they don't agree with us, then what's wrong? When, you know, right in front of you, you have, you know, two great friends, a husband, kids, church members that think the world of you. Can we just talk about how social media has been affecting us, especially in this lie? Because like you said earlier, is where we say something and then they don't give us the feedback that we want. And so we begin to think we don't matter, when reality, we've never met this person. We probably will never meet this person, but yet we're letting them affect us.
Yeah, that's good. I struggle with this. I struggle with this online because as someone, like for years and years, you know, especially as a counselor too, for years and years, the work that I do is so private and my life was so private. But in the last couple of years, it's been more public, and I've shared a lot more things online and done a lot more ministry online and through my podcast and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm constantly battling this lie online. Oh, my, there's not as many people following me as there is this person. I must be, you know, the worst, or I'm never going to be able to accomplish X, Y, Z because I don't have enough friends on Facebook or whatever, or people on my email list or whatever that is. So I fight that lie. It's like a comparison game. I'm looking at people that have thousands of followers, and I look at myself and I'm like, who am I? I'm nothing. You know, I must not be what people need or something like that. So that's something I fight myself. But I think in general, what social media has done is that constantly puts us in this comparison game. Like, oh, this person's life looks so much better than mine, or oh, this person's prettier or more successful or seems happier. And so we're constantly comparing our lives to other people, which is new. You know, before social media, we didn't have that. We had magazines and we had like, you know, our peers and stuff, people in movies, but that was they were so far removed from us that it was fine. But now we're in this constant game of comparison. And I think too, with social media, what it's done, unfortunately, is it's given us too big of a voice sometimes. And that, you know, if you get that, like, so we may express something. It could be anything. It could be a spiritual belief, political belief, like anything, right? And really quick, somebody could come in and shut you down, send you an awful message, attack you know, your point of view, right? And so it doesn't feel safe to, I don't know, to be your authentic self online sometimes. And so I think that's feeding into it, because it's like, oh my gosh, all these people are so mad at me or something like that for whatever. And you curl up in like your shell when that happens, and you start protecting yourself and just going, maybe I don't matter as much as I thought, you know? So yeah, I think that it's a complicated world online and social media, but it definitely feeds it for sure.
I think I was just thinking about magazines. I remember when we used to say, well, don't compare yourself to people in magazines. And I'm like, we don't say that anymore. Like, we don't even care about the magazines. We're like, don't compare to yourself to somebody on Instagram under the hashtag Fitspo. You know, like, it's like, we don't even say that. And I was thinking about comparison. I don't think we even really compare ourselves to people in our real life as much, because those people in our real life, we can actually have real conversations and go, hey, like, I don't know why I feel this way about you, but like, you can actually talk about what you feel about them. And yeah, with social media, I think that's where all of it comes in, is, and it's when you start to think about, well, like, do I really compare myself to somebody at church, or, you know, versus, well, actually I compare it myself, everybody I see in my newsfeed, it makes a complete difference. And so I would love for you to talk about the fruit of this lie. How does this fruit play into how we talk, our relationships, how we show up to work? And then we're going to spin it to the truth. So let's first address the fruit, like, just so people can maybe begin to even recognize, like, maybe not the nonverbals, but I don't think they realize that believing these deep rooted things are probably affecting more than they know.
Like, well, yes, we can notice these things in other people, but it's really, I think, more important to notice it in yourself. And so if you are constantly putting yourself down for whatever reason, if you are, I mean, that's part of it. When you have this deep belief that you don't matter, well, guess what? You're going to treat yourself like you don't matter. You know, you're not going to take care of yourself. You're not going to be great with exercise and self-care and all that kind of stuff. Because if, you know, if you don't matter, then your needs don't matter. And so the fruit of that could be, you know, okay, well, I'm neglecting my needs. I'm being hard on myself in a lot of ways. It could, the fruit of it could look like very poor boundaries, because when you don't have a lot of self-respect, then how do you expect others to respect you too? And so it could really look like poor boundaries. It could transition over into your relationship with God, and that, you know, you struggle to believe what he says about you. And then you may even struggle to believe what he says about him. And so it kind of trickles down the line there. I think it also shows up like when we put everybody else's needs above our own. I think as believers, yeah, we are called to consider others as more important than ourselves, as it says in Philippians. But we are also called to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And I think if we don't believe we matter, we completely neglect that as ourselves part. We just do for others, and we don't do for ourselves very often. And so, yeah, it comes down to, we don't have any self-respect. We feel like, you know, our time doesn't matter, and so we don't guard it. We don't feel like we can say no to things, because why would we need to say no to anything? We may not even share. This is another thing, a fruit that could come out of this. We may not even share much about how we're actually doing with other people, because it doesn't matter how we're doing. You know, it matters how they're doing. One example I could give is, like, I have a client who very much struggles with this belief. She has a severe sexual abuse history in her life, and no one did anything about it in her childhood. And so now, as an adult, she battles this all the time. She can't speak up at work because, you know, no one's going to listen to me. You know, no one's going to listen to me. Why should I speak up at work? She doesn't speak up in her relationships. again, why should I speak up when no one's going to listen to me? And so, yeah, that's a part of it too. We just become silent, which is not good, right? So yeah, that's, does that answer your question? I think with all.
Yeah, I love the nonverbal. I love how you use the words. And I also love the fruit, because somebody is going to relate to that, to be able to go awareness, right? Mm-hmm. And bring it to attention that maybe they are doing these things. I always say that once you believe a lie for so long, it becomes a truth.
Yeah.
And we don't even begin to challenge it because we think, well, this is just the way life is. And then we actually start to put God's truth, like, well, maybe he just wants me here. And it's like, okay, back it up a little bit, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead. And I want to begin to wrap this up with truth of how would you encourage somebody today, the women listening to this and maybe a few men, but how would you encourage the women today that they do matter? Is there an action step or just something that they can meditate on in their heart to begin walking this process out?
Yeah, I think it starts with that belief, I do matter. And it could be just writing that somewhere, you know, keeping it in front of your face so that you can see it. One thing I tell people a lot is it's almost like becomes their mantra sometimes, but I have an immense amount of worth. And this is why, you know, I am created in the image of God. I was made by love, for love, and with love. And I was made on purpose. And if you can't think of anything else to help you believe that you do have significance in this life, it's going back to the very beginning of how you were made, that you were made for this time and in the image of God. And that is the foundation there. It has to start there because our worth, and you know, I could tell you all these mantras like, oh, I am enough and all this mess, you know, but that's not where it comes from. The only reason we matter and the only reason we have worth at all is because we were made by God in his image, you know? And so that is one thing to sit on and meditate in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, when it talks about how he made us in his image. Sit with that. What does that even mean, you know? And thinking about, if I'm made this way, well, that means God must care about me. Another great passage of scripture to meditate on when you're feeling like this is Psalm 139. The passage just is beautiful, how deeply God knows us and how he made us and how he sees our path and how, he, you know, like the whole passage is beautiful to me. And it's probably one of the main things I point people to, is because I want to show them he cares about you. He knows you. He sees you. He has not forgotten you and he loves you, you know? Mm-hmm. And so thinking about that, even going to the cross and thinking about how Jesus gave his life for every soul on this planet, you know, and how no life matters more than another person's. He died for every one of them, you know, and so you belong in that group. And so just meditating on those things, you know, those are foundational. I don't think we can't just say these great feel good mantras to ourselves. We have to root ourselves in what is actually true. And that, yeah, we matter because we are made by God. We matter because Jesus died on the cross for us, right? We matter because he made us matter. You know, yeah. In the Jesus Storybook Bible, it says it like, they were lovely because he loved them, you know? So that is why we matter. But it's just so good to sit in that and go, you know what, if I don't feel like I matter to another soul on this earth, I know that I matter to God. So that's a big thing, is going back to the source of our worth. But the second thing I would say to that is thinking about the people in your life that you are important to. You know what I mean? Like people who have affirmed you, people who very much care about you. Think about the things that they say, you know? What kind of things do they say to you? keep those somewhere. I actually have a, what is it called? An album in my photos on my phone. And when somebody texts me something super affirming, I screenshot it and I go stick it in that album. And it, I think I called it like affirmations. Because when I'm feeling like absolute trash or that no one's going to ever follow me or I'm never going to get a book deal or all these blah, 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 I go back to that picture folder, and I go and look at all these things that people have said to me. Kara, this is great work you're doing. Or Kara, I'm so proud of you. Or, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Kara, I see you, you know, and I keep track of them. I also have like people who have written me things, like sent me in the mail, actual mail.
I love that.
Yeah.
Written to handwritten like, stuff is the best.
It's the best. And so I keep those too. I keep those in a special place. I've kept, this is crazy, I have kept those types of notes since I was probably 12.
That's good.
And I have the old suitcase. And it's because they're so affirming to me. And it's like, okay, I feel like the world is saying this. And I feel like this lie is this. But here's how I go stand on truth. I go stand on the word. And I go stand on these things that people have actually said to me who care about me.
No, that's good. Kara, I am so glad that you are here today with us to share this truth and address this lie. I know so many women. Again, if we can just get to the awareness, then now your intention of the lie and the truth. And I think that's always the battleground where we start. Because if we're not awakened, the enemy's just run. Like he's like, hey, this is cool. She doesn't even know what's going on. And then as soon as you awaken to the truth, the enemy's like, okay, we need to get her. We need to get her, right? And that's when it feels the heaviest. That's when it feels the hardest is because of the opposition. So thank you, Kara. Where can people come? I know you have a podcast, so make sure you tell people about your podcast and where they can find you.
Yeah, I was going to quickly say before I tell everybody that.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things that keeps us from being that aware is our busyness. And so if we don't take the time to slow down and actually pay attention to our lives, then we may not ever know that that's a problem and that we're believing that lie. And so if you slow down enough and notice what's going on, it's hard to miss it. But if you keep yourself busy, well, yeah, you're just going to keep on going and the enemy's going to be like, I'm winning, you know, because you're never going to even see that it's there. Yeah. So slow down and pay attention to your own tendencies in your own life so that you can see that it's there. Okay. So yeah, I do have a podcast called Be Known and I love doing that. So that's fun. You can always find me over on, you know, Apple or wherever you listen to podcasts. So that's always fun. My website is where all the stuff is. So that's my name, KaraFaubacher.com. And I love to hang on Instagram too at KaraFaubacher. My name's spelled kind of weird, but I'm sure Jess will have it. But yeah, that's where you can find me. I also love to coach women in some of these very things that we're talking about today. And so I do some coaching, personal coaching. And if you're interested in that, you can definitely check that out on my site too.
Love it. Yes, I will definitely have the links below. Well, thank you again for being here. And I know so many will be blessed.
Yeah, thanks. I've really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Have you ever felt like you weren't good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, thin enough, strong enough, worthy enough, or doing enough? If so, then my book, Know Your Worth, is for you. It's not uncommon to feel inadequate, whether it's issues surrounding your career, relationships, or finances. You will discover gems to apply to your own life as I take you through my journey of how I was able to overcome pain by realizing my worth wasn't tied into things or people, but God. In my book, Know Your Worth, I will show you how to stop settling for relationships that do nothing but cause you pain, how to refuse to settle for anything less than God's best for your life, and how to recognize that no matter what your past looks like, it doesn't have to be your future. Go to jessicahoddle.com/books to get a copy of Know Your Worth today.